uniting the racist with truth instead of dividing them with lies. We're also rebuilding the family by rebuilding the man. Some of you might remember, and some might not even know about this, but I was a member of this club, this gym called Equinox Gym. And I've been a member there for a long time because prior to Equinox, it was called Sports Club LA. And I was a member there, and then Equinox bought it, and I was still a member in good standards. And one day, one of the managers heard me on the phone doing an interview with my friend Bill Cunningham out of Ohio. And a little white guy, kind of soft-looking guy. And he became upset because he knew that and heard me talking about the great white hope, President Trump. And I'm a supporter of President Trump all the way. The great white hope. And this guy got really he lost it. And he ended up throwing me out of my club, out of my gym. And they got rid of my membership and everything, right? And that happened back in August 11, 2017. And so I was attacked and discriminated against by Equinox Gym for being a black supporter of Donald Trump. As a result, I filed a lawsuit. Filed a lawsuit against them. Wernet Daily is reporting on it. A black conservative sues health club over alleged assault. August 11, 2017, I was attacked and discriminated against by Equinox Gym for being black and supporting Trump. Because black people are not allowed to be free people. They all have to stay on the plantation of the Democratic Party and rely on the government and blame white folks for their problems. If you're one of those blacks who have escaped the plantation, then you become an enemy of the party and they go after you. So I'll keep you updated on that as we move forward. In studio, I have with me, he is back. Michael Woods Jr. is back. And I say he's back because I've had him on my radio show before, and then on the Fallen States, and now he's back in studio. Michael Woods Jr. is a police management scholar, speaker, former Baltimore police officer, U.S. Marine Corps veteran, and author of a book, Crime and Punishment in the 21st Century. We're going to tell you how to get the book and more about the book. Michael, thank you for coming back.
Thanks for letting me be here. And who wouldn't want to be with the Slutmaker on a wonderful Friday
morning? Slutmaker! And Michael is referring every year, the last couple of years or so, there's been a,
Slut walk.
A slut walk where the sluts want to take the shame out of being sluts. Amber Rose is the head of the one in L.A., and so Michael is referring to that. You can check that out on the fallenstate.tv. Michael, what do you think about the sluts?
I don't know how much I thought about the sluts. But, I mean, if you're a single man, I suppose I'm pro-slut.
Would you marry a slut?
No.
You would not marry a slut?
No.
Amazing. And what do you think about the idea that they want to remove the shame of being sluts?
Sure. I mean, I guess everybody could do what they want. Why shame them? I guess the shame would go on the dude that married the slut, right?
So should you take away the shame of being a slut?
I don't know. I haven't thought much about that. I don't know why we would need it to have shame. I mean, they can have their choice because they're going to have the consequences of their actions regardless of our shame.
Because shame is good for you. It helps you realize that you're wrong. And in some cases, you change as a result of realizing you're wrong because you're ashamed of what you've become.
I'm not going to fight too hard on that. I think you could be right, but I don't know. I think people could do what they want to do as long as they're not infringing on somebody else.
Okay. Mike, are you a Christian?
No.
You're not a Christian?
No. Have you ever heard my saying, I'm an atheist doing my best Jesus?
Really? Yeah. So you're an atheist. Have you ever been a Christian?
I mean, I was too young to say. So I went to Catholic school for a couple years, and I wasn't even an altar boy, rang a little bell and everything.
Right.
But I can't say, I mean, I have tried. I've been around Pentecostals. I've gone to churches and been members. I just couldn't get into the organized part, I guess,
right,
more than anything.
Are your parents Christians?
No, I wouldn't. I mean, they would be the ones who would be like, I believe in God, but, you know, the non-Christian Christians.
Right. So they're atheists as well?
I don't even know if they would say it.
But you believe that they are?
Oh, of course, yeah.
You believe that your parents are atheists?
Yeah, yes.
Were you raised by both father and mother?
Mainly my mother.
Mainly your mother. Yeah. Oh, I have noticed that most atheists were not raised by their fathers, and I'm starting to believe that's why they're atheists. Because if you don't love your father, you can't love God.
Well, I mean, I love everybody. I love my father. So I'm not really worried about that. But there is some certain truth in that. The most likely reason, even scientifically, that you would be a religion is because your parents were. And the data doesn't say because your parent was. It says because your parents were.
Right.
So there's probably some truth to that.
Completely. Most of the time, though, it's the mother who get you involved in church and not the father.
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. But most of the time, that's the case. So you're married?
Yes.
You have children?
Yes.
Really?
One daughter.
Amazing. And are you the head?
Is it amazing that I had sex and had a daughter?
I didn't know you were married.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And are you the head of your wife?
Am I the head of the household?
No.
Yeah.
No, sure. Are you the head of your wife, not the household?
I mean, she can do what she wants. She probably sets that paradigm actually more than I do. So, I mean, yeah, I'm in charge of the house. I make the decisions, but.
Are you the head of your wife?
Sure.
Are you the head of your wife?
Sure.
Yeah.
Are
you an Indian?
I mean, she's in Phoenix. I'm not sure she wanted to be, so I guess if you measure it up.
Are you made her stay home?
No, she came with me in Phoenix from the East Coast. So I mean,
I see. Did you? Someone want to know: are you part Indian? You look like you're part of something.
Yes.
Part Indian?
Yes.
Really?
Yeah, but I mean, I don't
put the feathers.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't follow the practices, so I don't think it really matters. And I'm totally agreeing with you that I'm American. That's what I am.
Right. Amazing. And so the last time we talked, you, matter of fact, you're known for supporting Black Lives Matter and opposing the Dakota Access Pipeline. Do you still feel that way? You support Black Lives Matter?
I support the concept of Black Lives Matter, too. My problem is it really went into Black Lives Matter only. I think over the last year and a half that you and I have spoken, I've been around the liberal media, you know, I've been behind the scenes,
yep.
And they are all complete rats. And I kind of betrayed my principles with you, and that's one of the reasons why I wanted to talk to you. I wanted to apologize because I didn't hear you out. I listened to more people on the streets over the last year and a half. I've seen the change with the Democratic Party and with Trump being in president. And I see a lot more of what you're saying that I should have paid attention to beforehand. And I understand this is an entertainment deal and you have to do entertaining things. But I was letting that cloud what you were really saying, things about like racism not existing in the country,
right.
Things about it becoming Black Lives Matter only, the Democratic plantation. I get what you're saying now.
Amazing. Well, I accept your apology.
Thanks.
That's amazing. I'm glad that you can see now.
Well, I'm not completely conceding on certain issues.
I said that you can see.
Oh, can see. Yeah, sure. I mean, I'll certainly agree that a lot of that happened. And I think you can credit your great white hope for some of that seeing.
The great white hope.
But it's just that when I saw you about a year ago at Politicon, when no cameras were around, there was no credit that was going to go to you. You embraced me with warmth and kindness.
Yes.
And I'm telling you, I haven't seen that from any of the hundreds or thousands of liberal media interviews I've done.
Amazing.
So I don't know. It really just did a lot to bring out to light what is going on in this country with what you're saying. Like, it's supposed to be a shock when I say that the system of policing, it has racist outcomes. That's supposed to shock you, and you're supposed to object because the racism isn't there in the surface on our culture. So if it's not people outwardly and overtly racist, you should be shocked when I say that police are doing racist things. And it should take me explaining a lot of different things to you. Once you're accepting racism on the surface, I don't know what's going what's happening here.
When you call them rats, what do you mean? What have you seen that would allow you to realize that these people are rats?
Well, I mean, they're not principled at all. I would have to say that that Kavanaugh was my absolute breaking point.
Yes.
The way they treated that man on a public stage with something with no evidence was, I mean, it sounds cliche, and I've heard a lot of other people say it, but I mean, that can be anybody's child, husband's son, like whatever.
That's right.
Like, that is to run somebody through like that in a completely unprincipled matter, forgetting everything that happened to Bill Clinton and everything that he did, everything that, you know, Al Franken or who's that, the guy now, the Democratic one that just got,
Guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can't think of his name, but he's. They voted for him,
right.
And he was accused of being violent to a woman or something.
So all of those things, where are the principles?
Yes. They have none. Mm-hmm. And then what they did to Kavanaugh and other men, they'll do it to you, too.
Of course.
At the blinking of an eye, they'll do it to you, too. Amazing!